Well, today we are here with Ross Hull, who was one of the cast members on You Afraid of the Dark, and this kind of concludes our week-long Are You Afraid of the Dark celebration.
Yep.
As our listeners know, we interviewed DJ McHale and Richard Dumont, and we're really excited to have Ross with us today, so thank you so much for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for asking me. This is great.
Cool. So I guess we'll just jump right into it. From the research we were able to do, we found that you were born in Montreal, is that correct?
I am from Montreal, Canada, you got it.
Okay. In kind of, you know, your early life and growing up, was acting something that always interested you, or, you know, did that come later on, or how did that work for you?
Well, I got into it as, hard to believe looking at some of the pictures, but I actually was a child model, believe it or not. I would do, like, you know, flyers for department stores and that sort of thing.
Sure. Wow.
And it was, you know, it was a good way to make some pocket change, and my mom didn't mind driving me around and all that. And that sort of progressed to doing commercials. So I did my first commercial when I was 8 for Duncan Hines cookies.
Okay.
And had to dance around and eat a bunch of cookies, which
not a bad gig.
But after eating hundreds of them, I had a different opinion. But but anyway, so that sort of led to me continuing in acting and so on. And I guess I went through that awkward stage at like 13, 14, and 15, and when I came out of that, my parents basically asked me, you know, do you still want to do this? Are you still interested? And I was still auditioning and so on, and I continued.
Did they come out and say, now that your awkward period is over, do you want to get back into film?
Well, they were like, now that you're going through this awkward period, I don't think you should. No, I mean, I kept doing it. But they were aware of, my sister actually was a child actor too, and she was really involved when she was younger. And then as she got older, she just realized, you know what, this is not for me. I don't like this. Because obviously there's a lot of attention to how you look, and, you know, it's very personalized, but she just didn't like it.
Sure.
But I kept doing it, and I guess, you know, after, well, close to graduating high school, I got an audition for the pilot of Are You Afraid of the Dark,
right?
And did that, met DJ, and had that experience, and sort of, you know, I think the pilot did air. I'm not sure about that, but eventually it did air. I don't think the pilot aired as its own. Maybe it did air as its own entity, as its own episode. It may have done that.
That
sure.
Was the original premiere was the pilot, the Twisted Claw pilot.
Okay, all right. So that was with a different cast.
Right.
I think I was luckily the. Thanks to DJ and the other creators, they actually had me come back, which is amazing. So that was sort of how things happened. I was, you know, auditioning and got this role in pilot. Did the pilot, didn't really think much of it in terms of, you know, it was cool that it aired and all that stuff, but I didn't really know if it was going to go to a full series or not. And then a couple of years later, they asked me to come back and audition for Gary.
Okay. Before you know, got into Are You Afraid of the Dark, did you have any interest in horror or thrillers or the supernatural or anything like that?
I did. I wasn't obsessed with it.
Sure.
I was really into, you know, the TV shows of the time, like, you know, a lot of the sitcoms and that kind of thing, Three's Company, Family Ties, Cosby Show. But one movie in particular that kind of I remember seeing as a kid was Shining, and that was just that just left an imprint on me. So
sure.
I certainly was aware of the genre, and I certainly was fascinated by it. But I know a lot of people that sort of, you know, they're a huge mm-hmm. focus, and that wasn't my take on it.
Right on. So you know, you said that you did the pilot episode, and then you came back. I mean, for the most part, you know, you were just involved with shooting the buffers for the show. One of the things we talked about with DJ was that everybody, you guys would shoot, you know, big chunks of these buffers at a time for multiple episodes. What was just the experience of shooting like?
It was interesting. I mean, first off, we weren't actually shooting in, I'm sure DJ's mentioned this, it was a set.
Right.
So we weren't actually outside in a forest, but they did a good job at recreating a forest, let me tell you. So it was pretty cool when you walk in there and you saw all these trees and, you know, how they set up the campfire, and it really did feel real.
Right, right.
And yeah, you know, just the, I mean, we had all the scripts in advance and so on, so we kind of knew where the stories were going, and we would shoot, sometimes we would block shoot, so we would shoot, you know, a couple of different episodes at the same time and so on, so,
right.
You know, the director and producers would make sure to keep us on track. I mean, DJ was great at sort of, because he didn't direct all the episodes, but he did direct a lot of the early episodes, and
right.
He's really good at basically getting us in that mode, you know, reminding us of what had happened or sort of what's going on, and he was really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do that, and there's also just the, you know, I mean, we were basically, in terms of the ages, probably ranging from, you know, 15 to, like, we had actually a cast member who looked really young. She was like late teens and early 20s. Rain,
right.
Very cool. So, you know, it's that you kind of become kids in a way. This has happened with me on other shows too. You kind of, you know, you just, we would sort of, you know, play around sometimes. Tucker and I, Daniel DeSanto would, like, you know, throw twigs at each other and that sort of thing and, you know, trip each other and,
sure.
You know, and, you know, I don't know. You kind of get into the mode of being a kid and just having fun.
Right.
The kind of, you know, because the shoot days can be long and that sort of thing. So you want to keep things loose, too.
Let's see.
Since Gary was kind of, in a way, the leader of the Midnight Society, did you feel like there was a similar vibe just, you know, with the people? Like, did you feel like...
On set,
did they kind of look to you for in any kind of leadership role, or was it just, yeah?
No one's ever asked me that question before. That's an interesting question. I don't think so. I mean, you know, I think the script did a pretty good job at doing that,
sure.
And you know, I think that, I mean, just by the nature of being one of the older cast members, that might have sort of come through.
Yeah.
Daniel DeSanto and I certainly did sort of develop this, you know, and we're still keeping in touch. It's sort of like this brother relationship in terms of, you know, we kind of did feel like brothers in a sense after finishing the shoot. But, I don't know. I think it kind of came across in the script and probably did come across in terms of, you know, just when you're the difference between 15 and 18 and 19, that 19 or 18 year old seems so much older and has apparently so much more experience. So maybe it did come in through that way.
Right. One of the things, you know, that you mentioned was that DJ was really good about, you know, getting everybody in the mindset. One of the things that he had to say though, too, was, you know, there was kind of a give and take. I mean, he said that, you know, everybody as a cast was really strong and that all of the Midnight Society actors were really strong. And I mean, did you feel like that's how it was, that everybody kind of brought, you know, their full, you know, extent of their ability to the roles?
Yeah. Well, I think that became apparent, especially when, it was that character's story, you know,
sure.
You know, during the, you know, if it wasn't your story, you might have some interesting reaction shots or lines. Sometimes you'd be involved with some other stuff going on, but that was just the real kind of moment to shine, I guess, when you were telling the story. And I always remember being impressed by all the cast members whenever it was their turn.
Sure.
Because, and DJ was such a good writer in the sense that he would add little, you know, things the dialogue just to sort of learn more about the characters too as they were telling the story.
Right.
So it was always interesting to see how each actor, you know, took that and ran with it.
Sure, sure.
And we were literally sitting there as an audience. So it was really cool to see that.
That's great. Towards the end of the show's run, you start in the three-part, I guess, you know, kind of TV movie, the Are You Afraid of the Dark? TV movie. What was it like to step away from the traditional, you know, campfire setting and you know, giving your character kind of a bigger role and a more of a chance to grow your character.
Oh, it was great. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to be able to work with the current the second incarnation, I guess, including. Well, Daniel did come back.
Right.
I got to work with Alicia Cuthbert, too. That was cool.
Right.
It was great. And it was just, you know, it was sort of taking Gary to a whole other level. And, you know, you asked me about Gary feeling like the leader, or at least, you know, whether Ross was leader or whatever. I really did feel it in that episode in terms of Gary anyway. Just sort of, he was kind of like the detective, you know.
Sure.
Taking control. I think you really saw, you know, it was interesting because I had to play him as more of an adult. So it was, you know, making decisions as to how emotional he would be when he found out about his grandmother or his grandfather and all these things. But it was really, it was a cool experience to be able to take Gary out, well, back inside the campfire because there were some scenes shot there.
Right.
And have some other stuff for him to explore too. That was a lot of fun. And I do appreciate. I was really appreciative that they had Gary come back in that way.
Sure.
I noticed that there's. I think it's Super Specs, one of the very early episodes that Gary is featured outside of the campfire, you know, setting.
Right.
I don't remember that happening a whole lot. Was that one of the few times that happened aside from the movie?
You guys have done your homework. I believe that was the only time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I felt really lucky. It was Rachel Blanchard and I who are in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the only time that they actually took characters outside of the campfire. Stand to be corrected if they didn't do that with other characters. But so I kind of felt a little honored that I got to do that. So sure. That was pretty cool. I actually got to be on the set when they shot some of the, because that was actually on location, so I got to meet some of the actors and
okay.
involved in that particular episode. And Ron Oliver actually was directing that episode, I believe. So I think Ron might have directed me for that scene too.
Oh, wow. Kinda cool. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you have seen yourself, not just Gary, but yourself writing a poem for Samantha? were you that type, or was that just the character?
That's a tough one to answer. I think that if you really, really care about someone, you'll do anything. And although I'm not known for my poetry, I would probably try.
Sure. So, I mean, after Are You Afraid of the Dark, I mean, you went on to do, you know, quite a bit more acting. But at what point did you decide to step away from acting?
Well, I did Are You Afraid of the Dark, then I did another show called Student Bodies, which I don't know if you guys are aware of. It was on in the U.S. It was syndicated on some Fox stations, but it was more of a popular show in Canada. So I did that for 65 episodes. I was really lucky that the shows I did do went to syndication. So,
yeah.
And then I did some other stuff, and I guess I was close to my mid-20s, and by that point, I'd sort of, you know, I'd worked pretty straight as, you know, for close to 10 years, and doing that as an actor, being able to, you know, make a living is pretty rare, and I was, you know, grateful for it, but I felt like there was something missing. I hadn't gone to university. A lot of my friends at that point were graduating university, what we call university in Canada. I know you guys call it college.
What is this university you speak of?
So I decided to go to Ryerson University, which is it's pretty well known for its broadcasting programs, its acting programs, and that sort of thing. So I did that, and then my last year, it was a four-year program, I got a job, just an on-call position, not full-time or anything, at the Weather Network, which is Canada's Weather Channel,
sure.
Canada's version of the Weather Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of opened my eyes to meteorology, and I was always a big fan of broadcasting and TV news and that sort of thing. I would, you know, go around, you know, bothering my family with video camera that they got me, you know, interviewing them and doing mock TV shows and all that stuff. So it was there. It was just that acting kind of, you know, took off for me, and I didn't have a chance to explore that part. So So when I got the opportunity to do this stuff, it was really sort of something else that I was really interested in. And I guess, you know, acting is great when you're working and so on, but I guess I wanted a little more structure.
Sure.
And, you know, the way things worked for me, at least at the time, is you would do a show, you'd finish it, and you kind of started back at square one, you know. And I went into media, which is, of course, you know, not the most stable of businesses now, but you know what, I think I'm grateful that things have worked out, and yeah, that's sort of how I got on that path.
Right on. Well, we've got a kind of a quicker lightning round. These questions don't really require a whole lot of thought or explanation. They're just kind of quick fire answers.
Okay.
Were you a fan of Are You Afraid of the Dark as it was airing, or, you know, did you ever watch the episodes?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you just want yes or no?
No. I mean, you can expand, but these are, you know, these are just kind of easier questions, I suppose.
Okay.
Well, did you have a favorite episode?
I've been asked that a lot. It's hard to pick a favorite episode. I don't know if it's necessarily a favorite episode, but it's more episodes that just sort of remain in your, you know, consciousness, that just sort of still stick out. And
I think that's how it is. That's how it is for us as well. So
yeah, The Tale of Laughing in the Dark, and
yes. that's a big one.
The Tale of the Lonely Ghost too. Something about hauntings and that kind of caught my attention.
Yeah, those are two that we spent a lot of time talking about at our retrospective episode. did you have a favorite character? One of the things we asked both DJ and Richard, you know, was there a favorite monster, a favorite character, you know, something that's just stuck out to them? Did you have anything?
Dr. Vink.
Sure.
Probably. And Gardo.
Yeah.
Yeah, emphasis on the dough, right?
Right, yes. That's right.
those two especially. There's so many, you know, and that was the other thing that was so impressive, is just seeing, well, a lot of the time were Montreal actors developed these characters that were part of the actual episodes. And,
sure.
A lot of great stuff, but those are a couple that I certainly remember.
As we were putting the show together, and, you know, kind of announcing who we would be interviewing and who we would be talking to, a lot of our female listeners who are fans of Are You Afraid of the Dark expressed that growing up they all kind of had a crush on you, you know, and that you helped some ladies, you know, kind of discovered who they were. I mean, was that something that you ran into growing up? I mean, and during your time on the show.
Like, what do you mean ran into? Like, was that the reflection in real life, or is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I mean, did you have a lot of admirers?
No, not at all. I really do find that fascinating, because I never really considered myself in that light, and, you know, especially with this character. I mean, not to say that anyone wearing glasses not attractive and all that stuff, but I guess the way that they tried to sort of, you know, mold Gary was, for lack of a better word, a bit of a, you know, I don't know if this is politically correct anymore, but geek, or, you know, he was that kind of guy.
Right.
And so I would never have anticipated that, you know, women or men or whatever, or I guess, you know, young people at the time would have been attracted to that. But I guess hearing later on, about it, it makes it, you know, just sort of, I'm blown away by it. I would have had no idea.
I'm going to go with it's the poetry. The poetry will do it every time.
Yes. Well, maybe I should take that into, you know, bring that into my life right now and start getting into poetry.
Yeah.
One of the things that we had asked DJ and Richard, and that, you know, we'd love to hear from you about as well. How often does Are You Afraid of the Dark come up in your life now?
That's a good question. It comes up a lot, because
sure.
You know, this is one of the things that I'm kind of come to terms with, in a sense, because it just sort of, it's as mind-boggling as people being into Gary, or into me, I guess, when I was that age, is just the fact that people still recognize me from it. So,
sure. Oh, yeah.
It's often a daily thing. And the thing is that people know that I work for a national broadcaster here in Canada now, the CBC, and, you know, I'm recognized for that sometimes, but there's a specific demographic that, that still, you know, on the street or even within the CBC, ask me about the show. It's obviously left some kind of mark, you know?
Sure.
I actually went to the book launch for Slime. I don't know if you guys have read Slime by Matthew Klickstein.
It's funny, like every person we've interviewed so far has mentioned the book. So yeah. I was aware of it, but I hadn't read it.
Yeah, yeah. So I actually went to New York for the launch, and just meeting people there was unbelievable. Like, it was just the impact that this show has had on people and some of the things they're telling me. And, I mean, amazing stuff. Like, some of them have gone on to, you know, direct in the horror genre or that kind of thing, or, you know, how it kind of helped them get through some rough moments and all this stuff. It's like, wow. So, yeah, it still is a part of my life. And it's not one of those things where I consider it a nuisance. I considered it... it's an honor that I was able to be a part of it and to be a part of something that still has left such an imprint on people.
Sure.
But I guess it's me still coming, trying to come to terms with, you know, like how my role really sort of had that impact.
It's right. Right.
It's not hard to make that connection, you know?
Right. Oh, absolutely. You know, you come from both an acting and a, you know, a broadcast media standpoint. And, you know, the time that Are You Afraid of the Dark was on the air was kind of a really unique time in television, especially in the kind of programming that was being done at the time. Do you think we'll ever see a unique heyday like we did in the early to mid-90s? I mean, do you think we'll ever see programming like that again?
Oh, that's a tough one to answer. I mean, it certainly was a very distinct time.
Sure.
When that came out, and I guess we're only starting to realize that as the years progress and kind of see where television's gone. I mean, I think we still do have sort of that community viewing experience in certain shows today.
Right.
And I guess it's just, you know, not a lot of them are tailored to the demographic that Are You Afraid of the Dark is tailored to. And I know that Matthew in Slime kind of deals with some of these questions about how, you know, Nickelodeon's evolved and how things have changed and how TV was very different back then. I want to hope that there can be that experience in whatever incarnation television. I mean, it's you guys, I'm sure, know. I mean, it's a transforming industry. It's,
absolutely.
The actual industry itself has been transformed, and the way we deliver and access content is being changed. So I would hope that in the future, no matter what the actual form is of delivering the content, that there can be experiences like what Are You Afraid of the Dark provided.
Sure.
Back.
Yeah.
One of the things that, you know, we had talked with DJ about at one point, there was, you know, plans for an Are You Afraid of the Dark movie, you know, to kind of reboot what Are You Afraid of the Dark was. I mean, would you ever be interested in you know, returning for you know, some sort of incarnation? I mean, is acting still in the cards for you at all?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I I've been away from it for a while. I would be open to it. I try to stay open to all kinds of things. So I certainly wouldn't, you know, I certainly something I'd consider. And I don't know. I mean, I know that there was talk a while ago movie.
Mm-hmm.
To get to work with DJ and you know, someone as creative as him and some of the other people involved in the show, yeah, I'd jump on that.
Great.
Awesome.
Our last question, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, after, you know, here we are 20 years later, 20 plus years later, and Are You Afraid of the Dark, you know, has remained, you know, still in our consciousness. I mean, we're still talking about it. Why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think that it's stuck around and is still being talked about and written about?
That's a really good question. You guys asked some good questions. I think you know, maybe it goes back to because, you know, when I was doing the show, I was, you know, when I was actually doing this series, I was 17, 18 years old. So I wasn't 8, 9, or 10, or, you know, some of the ages that people were sort of introduced to Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Right.
And, you know, it's that same thing that when I saw The Shining for the first time, and that impact, because I was young when I saw that. I think I was probably, you know, 8, 9, or 10 when I saw it for the first time. I think that when you're a kid and you're, you know, I guess maybe your mom or dad has allowed you to watch this show on Nickelodeon, maybe not knowing how scary it may get and how they may have to deal with nightmares later on. You know, it leaves an impression.
Sure.
And I think that, you know, the same thing that left the impression on me, seeing Michael J. Fox, you know, for the first time on you know, Family Ties, or, you know, I think that, you know, whenever a show, and I think Are You Afraid of the Dark did that really well.
Right.
I think it had it wasn't necessarily overly gory, but it really knew how to kind of scare you.
Yeah. Sure.
And I think that, you know, that left an impression on kids, tweens back in the 90s. And I think that, maybe a lot of the other shows moving forward didn't have that impact.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Well, you know, just to kind of wrap up, you know, you mentioned earlier just hearing from people who have been impacted by the show. A lot of our listeners, you know, are really prolific in the horror community, and, you know, have gone on to be horror writers and, you know, film bloggers, and, you know, even Cameron and myself are filmmakers now. So, you know, I think on behalf of everybody, we want to thank you, you know, yeah, for being part of something that's been such a big part of our lives. And that was, you know, the reason for us doing this was, you know, we wanted to find out more about really what it went into the show and just, you know, give our thanks to everybody who was involved. So thank you so much for, you know, being involved in something that's been such a big part of our growing up. We really appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you for doing your research and you know, it's always interesting to talk about the show and understanding, you know, what impact it's had on people. And yeah, I mean, I was just sort of along for the ride. I did what I could, but I also have to, you know, thank people like DJ and all the creators and producers for allowing me to be a part of it. But it was great talking to you guys.